podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Barbecues galore. Remember those guys?
Yeah.
Went into receivership February last year.
Oh, did it?
I don't know if you recall, but about 5 years ago, I went to try and buy a voucher for Christmas, I think, for Mum and Anthony from Barbecues Galore.
Yeah.
And it was something like $200 voucher, and the lady put an extra zero on it, and I was in Adelaide for the holidays. Must have been more than that. Must have been like 6 or 7 years ago, just when you started. She took the $2,000 out of my account, and then that was basically all my spending money for the holiday. And it takes like a week for it to come back in. And I couldn't even, and it was like that close to Christmas, I couldn't even buy the voucher again for the $200 voucher again for them.
Was she like really apologetic?
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah, she's like, oh, it'll come back. I'm like, doesn't it take like a week? And she's like, I don't know.
Nah.
No wonder.
You know, if you've worked retail, you know that the extra zero can get
cash.
You.
Give me the cash.
Can get you from time to time, but give you the cash.
I asked. Like,
$2,000 in cash.
Well, you've taken the cash out of my account, haven't you?
Yeah, I know.
And you're
going to
leave me without it for my whole holiday.
Oh, jeez.
You're going to leave me without it for my whole holiday. I've got no money on my holiday
now.
See,
this is why I'm not a manager, because I don't want to deal with this stress.
Oh, no. It's
too much for me.
Not the policy. It's not the policy. Well, surprise, surprise, they've gone under as a business.
You were quite happy about that, which
is
nice to see.
Well, it did taste pretty good. But there's reporting on it, right? So there was a $5 million rescue sort of package being discussed and sort of seeing if they could get creditors involved. And this, to be fair, it does suck for, apart from that one lady, the rest of their employees.
Yeah.
This is uncertain times. And, you know, I would never wish that on anyone. But that seems to have fallen over. Part of the deal is, I guess they must have some stores still open because gift cards are going to be honoured until 30th of June on the condition that for every $1 of gift card credit redeemed, the holder provides $2 in new consideration. So if you've got a $50 gift card, you then need to buy something worth $150 for you to be able to use the
$50. No, that's not how that works.
Yeah, apparently
that's
it is.
That's not how that works.
You want your $50.
I was gonna say, I've got a feeling that we... Did we get a voucher as a group recently for someone from Barbecues Galore?
Well,
I don't know.
That was silly.
It wasn't recently. Like, it would have been last year sometime, but damn. Use that voucher. That was you? I can't remember who it was.
Anyway, the headline is Barbecues Galore to shut 62 stores across Australia. More than 500 workers face uncertain future after $5 million rescue deal fails.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's a bit wordy for my liking for a headline. Have you got any sort of headlines that might be snappier that spring to mind about Barbecues Galore folding?
Something about maybe like the sizzle. They've lost their sizzle or something.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I feel like you might have one.
Rescue package hits a snag.
Oh, is that...
Do you like that one?
Is that the best? Oh, no, there's more. Yeah. Good, thank God. I was like... Tell me you've made me sit through all of this just for that.
500 Barbecues Galore workers given the chop.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like I can't laugh though. I'm
why
scared.
Not? Because the rescue. Yeah.
Because I feel like.
No, that's fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to be completely honest with you. I'm just a bit scared.
Barbecues Galore future skillered.
Okay.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Shish kebab style.
Yeah.
Tried to work shish kebab in there, but there's no guy called Bob.
What about folded like a folding chair with plenty of ouch?
It's a bit wordy.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Barbecues Galore runs out of gas?
Yeah. Okay.
That's not getting better, is it? Okay, I've got two more.
Oh, God.
It's All Gone Tong, the Barbecues Galore story.
Okay, yeah, no.
Better?
The barbecue.
Better?
Documentary, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And finally, Barbecues Galore rescue package fails spectacularly.
Okay. Wouldn't have finished with that one, but I like how you've written stuff down.
Thanks, mate.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
Fashion, fashion.
Stop. Stop. Stop in the name of the law. Stop in the name of good taste.
Stop. It's the fashion police.
Bah.
Just always just ruin the end of it by singing
saying,
over it.
Sorry. Yeah. Just get really
I tell
excited.
You every time. It's all right.
All right, I'll do it again.
No, I don't want you to do it again.
You know I will.
I know.
Going to the front page of the internet for this one, mate. Reddit. We don't understand it.
Nah.
We don't really know a lot about it.
What's an upvote?
Not sure. But no. We do like to get stories from it because that's what, you know, everyone's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Retail employees and factory workers have come out on Reddit thread saying that new clothes aren't exactly what you think they are in terms of how clean they are.
No, stop.
So as someone who worked in retail, famously, you did have quite the colourful stint at Gorman.
Yeah, I did.
Which,
I had a great time.
Goes with the brand, doesn't it?
Mm,
but
had a great time.
Yeah. So what's your take on how clean new clothes are bought from a shop?
Well, I thought they were always really clean because they normally come in like, obviously, they come in a box and then that box has, there was a lot of plastic, to be fair.
Plastic wrapping.
A lot of plastic wrapping and stuff, but it all smelled really clean and everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've come out and said you should always wash your newly purchased clothes before wearing them. One employee who'd worked in multiple clothing warehouses sparked the discussion and after revealing just how filthy new garments are, even if they appear clean to the naked eye and they smell nice.
Yeah, because I like the smell of new clothes.
Yeah. You have no idea how dirty new clothes are. They're often as dirty as public bathrooms and train stations.
What?
Having worked inside the clothing industry, inside factories, I've seen it all. They explain that fabrics are often stored in poor warehouse conditions, including environments infested with cockroaches, mice and dust, and in some cases contaminated with animal feces.
Oh, great.
People don't realise what goes on before the item reaches them. Once it hits the rack in retail stores, urged customers to be mindful that multiple people may have already tried on the clothes they go on to buy.
Yeah, I know. See, I always kind of... But sometimes you can smell that.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that weird?
Sometimes
when it's like,
you
it's
can,
like a sweat sort of smell on a new...
Yeah, sometimes you can smell that on... Yeah.
That's happened to me once or twice. Don't forget, sweaty people have probably tried on that same item of clothing and you have no idea how their day was or what their hygiene level is. So please wash your clothes before wearing them. It's not a strict rule. You have to choose your battles. Obviously, there's some stuff you're not going to take. If it's a dry clean only, you might not take it straight to the dry cleaner.
Yeah.
One said the worst was a lady who sneezed in her hand.
Don't, I don't need this today.
Wiped it on a sweater on the rack. Disgusting.
I don't need it.
I'm a retail worker.
Oh, my God.
And the things that I've seen clothes go through in stores would make most uninitiated people vomit. And we're at the end of the supply chain. I leave the store with filthy hands and clothes from handling these new clothes. I have to shower and change as soon as I get home.
Oh, well, yeah, that's just working retail, though.
Yeah.
Because it's like people are like, oh, retail's so easy. It's not. It's a lot of running around, a lot of stress, a lot of, you know, lifting things and taking things down in the bin and all this type of stuff. A lot of cardboard.
Yeah.
Action. Like,
a lot of chemicals to sort of preserve them as well, yeah? Like to keep pesticides and that sort of thing out. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I watched a toddler reach out of his stroller.
No,
grab
don't.
A,
what?
Block your ears. I'll go and tell everyone.
Oh, God. Okay. Go.
I watched a toddler reach out of his stroller, grab a pair of undies and rub them all over his face, runny nose and open mouth included. His mum then took them from him and dropped them back on the table. Wash everything, someone said.
Are you done?
Yes. You would
so
have loved that one.
No, I'm
listen
so
back
glad.
To that on the,
I don't
in the 6
to.
p.m. show, in the podcast. Listen, all right.
Fashion, fashion. Stop, stop, stop in the name of the law. Stop in the name of good taste.
Stop. It's the Fashion Police.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
It is Thank First Responder Day today. Think about that as you maybe, you know, go to your local cafe and think, oh, there's an Ambo worker here. I'm going to pay for their coffee,
nice.
Whatever it might be. Or just, you know, if you've had a great experience with them, write to their superiors, their managers, write to, that's what I did when I had two ambulance workers come and literally save me.
Did you put it in the Santa letterbox at the post office?
I did not.
Thank you for rescuing me. That green whistle really flew me via sled to
Geelong
University Hospital.
Yeah, I tell you what, just The amount of pain you can be in as a human and having first responders there who are not only have the remedy to your pain but are calm and basically hold your hand and tell you everything's going to be all right. You feel like a child again and they're just there to protect. There's no one else like you guys, honestly. There's not. So we want to thank a first responder today but also apologize to them. Because if you got an apology to a first responder, give us a call, 522-322-955. Yeah, I apologize for talking their ear off the whole way in the ambulance, interviewing them about how they got into ambulance work and, you know, their thoughts on the radio, all the way from Ocean Grove to Geelong Hospital.
Also, you were when they got there, you were lying on the floor in your bra, and it wasn't even one of your good bras. I believe, any truth to the rumor that when they rolled you over, a moth flew out? Is that...
But I remember apologising for the state of my house. I was like, because I was looking down the ground. I'm like, oh, there's dog hair here. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
They go through enough. They go through enough. They don't need more of that gear.
Yeah.
I do have to apologise to a first responder. This goes back, speaking of childhood, when I was a child, we lived in Glenelg in Adelaide.
Oh, yeah.
And our place, so I reckon I might have been five and Emmy, my sister, would have been three. And she's mum and dad was in the backyard. I don't know where mum was, but I think she managed to turn on the hot plates on the stove. But it was a gas one.
Yeah. So
somehow she's like pushed it in enough to click and then turn it on.
Man.
And I've walked into the kitchen and gone, fire. Oh my God. Called 000 straight away.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, bless your heart, though. That's the right thing to do.
But nothing was on fire. It was just the hot plate. And so the fire engine came and all the fireys ran in with their hose ready to go to put out a fire. And all they had to do was turn the knob off. So sorry, guys. Wasted your time. Sorry about that.
Apologising to a first responder there.
Michelle's called through from Grovedale. Morning, Michelle, you're live on the air. Do you want to apologise to a first responder this morning with us?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, this was a while ago, about 20 years ago. I was involved in a car accident and they couldn't tell what was wrong except that my back was absolutely killing me. And they're trying to get me out of the car and every time they moved me, I was literally screaming in pain, apologising left, right and centre at the time. So they gave me the green whistle pen, the Penthrox pen. And he said to me, have you used these before? And I just kind of glanced at him and shook my head. And he said, okay, you just suck on it. And I just gave him a weird look. He said, like a cigarette.
Yeah.
I looked at him and said, I don't smoke. I think he gave up at that stage.
Yeah.
No, they were absolutely marvellous the whole time.
Better than me, Michelle. I smoked it like a vape. I was going, breathing in and going, blowing out non-existent smoke. And they're like, oh, that's not what you do.
Well, I can imagine the look on his face. I can't remember it, but when I took it,
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
We're going over to the States for this one. Yes, beautifully done. To America, to Colorado, in fact. And I sort of want to pose the two of you a question. What would happen if this happened on your property? Imagine...
Well, we're in Colorado, you see. Whoosh, whoosh, flicking my gun around.
Okay. Lots of sound effects that are not
never even seen a show with a gun in it, let alone a real one.
So what has happened is this guy has gone and built himself a treehouse, but I'm talking like a pimped out, like amazing treehouse, like it's really like way up in the big, so very remote Colorado, way up high in the trees, almost like straight out of, you know, that old movie Swiss Family Robinson? That sort of level of treehouse. Amazing. Got the windows, got everything in it. He's done an incredible job. He's built it himself.
That always worries me when mums trust fathers who have built tree houses.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're a carpenter, just, I don't know.
So straight away, that's what you're picturing,
that's
aren't
what
you?
That's right, picture.
You're picturing like dad's built it for kids type thing. No. He's built it for himself.
Oh.
And has built the whole thing. However, He has also built it on somebody else's land because he just wants to live amongst the trees out in the wilderness, sustainably, all that sort of stuff, off the grid type stuff.
Okay.
And he has built it on land owned by other people.
Okay, I've got some follow-up questions, Tom. Sorry.
Yes.
Now, is this land, is it like he's got a big property, next door neighbours have a big property, and that tree is kind of on their land, but it's next to his house?
Fair question, Log. Yeah. Great question. No. He does not own any land, this guy.
Ah.
He has just gone out into the wilderness. Like, so somebody goes trekking out the middle of the Otways.
Yeah.
As far on some of those 1,000-acre properties out there where, you know, the farthest reaches of it, whatever it might be, and has thought, amazing spot. Beautiful trees. They look like good foundations to build myself an incredible tree house.
Okay.
And has spent years doing it. Just on somebody else's property.
Is it Senator Bob Brown from Tasmania?
No.
Is it an environmental? Is he chained to the tree?
No.
Is
that, so he's not chained to
the tree. I love him.
It's 50 feet above ground.
Yeah.
So it's way up there.
Mate, just go into a cave.
Like you could. Maybe say if you ever went that far into your property and you're walking along, you probably wouldn't even really notice it. It's that high up.
Nah, it still annoys me.
Yeah. So that was going to be my question to you. What would you do if you both had this huge property, like lots of land, but lots of like forest and bush and everything like that, and on like the furthest corner of it, some punter just decides to get a hammer and nail and a bit of wood out and builds himself somewhere to live on the corner of your property.
I will give you the shirt off my back, but if you take it, that's a whole other thing. Don't touch my stuff.
Yeah.
I'm very big on don't touch my stuff.
Okay.
If someone came up to me and was like, hey, look,
can I build a house on your property?
Well, you know, then I would consider it. But if I saw that thing there and you haven't asked, big on you not asking.
Maybe if you're going to maintain it or something, like be like, okay, well, if you can keep the area tidy or something, maybe you can. But do you know what I'm doing is I'm going up and taking the ladder.
Just real petty
you
stuff.
You want to stay out there, mate? You stay out there. If you love it so much,
exactly.
Why don't you marry it?
Get comfortable.
Yeah, and if you got some money to give me, then maybe I'll bring you the ladder back.
Oh,
think smart, Tom.
A bit of blackmail, extortion.
He is a senator. He's been on that money.
No,
that
don't
government
talk
money.
About my Bob, all right? He's the only one fighting
hey,
down
no
there.
No one's talking about your Bob, all right? anyway, there you go.
What would you do?
I'd get the hell off the property.
Yeah, right.
But I'm not sure how I'd actually. You can't.
Do it American style.
No, see, I was going to say, I'm never going to do
drones
that.
Attacking.
But no.
They attacked us first.
Stop building a cubby house on my land.
Just do press conferences saying they will move very soon. Couple more days and they're going we're going to have an agreement for them to move out.
Tom and Loggie, that was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.